Hello, and welcome to Audio Notes. These informational sessions are here to share historical context and in-depth knowledge about music that will appear on Music at Menlo's season concert programs. They'll feature interviews with artists and composers, selections from the works being discussed, and new perspectives on familiar and unfamiliar sounds. I'm Nikki Sweat, your host for this summer's festival, which is titled Beethoven Unfolding. It involves two intertwining streams of musical activity, a complete six-concert cycle of Ludwig van Beethoven's string quartets, and then six corresponding programs that each explore a specific historical period. There will be a buffet of Baroque splendor, a journey from Bach to Beethoven in a program of classical fare, music from the heart from the first half of the 19th century, a concert of late 19th century works that illustrate the twilight of Romanticism, a set of churning, disruptive selections from the turbulent 20th century, and finally a snapshot of chamber music now, with pieces written in the last 25 years. All of this music will be heard in the context of performances of Ludwig van Beethoven's daring and wildly varied string quartets, which offer a unique perspective on the history of chamber music. Artistic directors David Finkel and Wu Han told me about the distinguishing qualities of these historical periods and what we learn by listening to music from those eras through a Beethoven lens.
I quite like the term Beethoven lens because his music, actually, through it, you can see and hear a wide range of music throughout history. He is, for me, the composer who, more than any other, seemed to have been able to compose music from his past, or referencing his past, to music of his future that nobody had even imagined yet. Certainly some of his late quartets and late piano sonatas are as though they were written much closer to the 20th century, if not in the 20th century. Nobody can figure out how he did that. Perhaps it was his sonic isolation from his total deafness by the end of his life that led him to look into his subconscious somehow more than other composers. But in fact, he didn't really care during his life that much, except at the beginning, about the impression that he made. After a certain point, he wrote music that was just for himself. He did not follow trends or fashions or other composers, really, except the ones that he respected from his past, like George Frideric Handel. Especially in the later works, things like fugues from the Baroque era crop up. Medieval harmonies appear in the late quartets. Also, incredible dissonance in some of the movements, such as the Grosse Fuga in Opus 130, which I believe Stravinsky said is still one of the most modern pieces ever composed. Thank you. look at our unfolding of music festival, which goes from the Baroque to music of our time, including works composed specifically for music at Menlo, it's a fantastic point of reference to have Beethoven as the lens, because he seemed to be able to look backwards and forwards at the same time, as though he could see and hear the unfolding of music festival that runs parallel with his quartet cycle. Beethoven, as well as other composers who were extremely disciplined, looked to the Baroque period as a source of inspiration in terms of skill. During that time, composers were obsessively focused on the craft and the skill of writing acoustically perfect music. I think that composers throughout history have drawn inspiration from those Baroque masters, from their dedication. And I do say, to the second part of this idea of being able to look forward, that you will hear in the Beethoven quartets moments of really modernistic audacity that are shocking. He loved surprise. He was, if anything, perhaps the most dramatic composer who ever lived. He had an incredible sense of interaction with his audience. You feel when you're listening to Beethoven as though the composer has you in the palm of his hand, that he's controlling your life and mood from moment to moment, as perhaps no other composer had done before. So I think through the Beethoven quartets, you will sense this phenomenon of drawing from the greatness of the past and also foreseeing the drama and sometimes even the chaos of the future.
This particular festival is quite special, and I would say that all of the music is not really created out of the bubbles. Composers tend to write music that reflects their surroundings. They will build on each individual personality and their influences in each of their very unique circumstances. These compositions also serve different purposes in what music represents in each unique historic period. We're so fortunate this summer to have 6 unique concerts to really examine this particular point. The way we designed the program is to really emphasize the variety of each period, both from the instrumentation as well as stylistic difference of many composers that are chosen in this festival. You will notice, like in the Baroque period, we selected many different ensemble formations.
If one could go back there and live for a while in, say, 1710 to 1730, you would have found yourself in an incredible hotbed of creativity. There were so many innovations that took place in music that were not just simply about the notes themselves, but also about instruments. 1710 to 1725 was the so-called golden period of Antonio Stradivari, the greatest violin maker of all time. And his instruments and their quality, and similar instruments made by his predecessors, inspired composers to new heights of virtuosity and vocal imitation capability that no one had imagined as well. I think any Baroque program, when you combine music from other countries that produced so much Baroque music, Italy, Spain, Germany, France, England, we have Baroque music from all of those nationalities. In total, a Baroque program such as this hopes to convey the excitement of what it must have been like to be in that time, to be a musician, a composer, or a musical consumer with all of this new food on the table.
I think the classical era's music really produced music that is organized and logical. That there's a sense of beauty from its construction. Structure becomes super important. The idea behind the structure, how one manipulate the structure, also the balance of the sense of beauty, it becomes super important. And that's all reflected in this particular program. The three composers we selected, Haydn, Mozart, and Beethoven, are really just the greatest composer from that period. The J.C. Bach is the link, actually, from the first concert to the second program. And as an audience this summer, I think one needs to put ourselves in that same period. Pretend you are from that period. Then you would really appreciate the inventiveness of these great composers. Haydn invented string quartet and symphony. Mozart created the most incredible beauty and perfection of the composition. Beethoven took every genre to another level in structure, in his daring to inject power and excitement into every aspect of the music. When you first hear the Beethoven's 40 minutes of grand septet, this unique sound of the small ensemble with strings and winds, but in the chamber music format, it must be like such a joy to discover by all of the audience back then. And each one of these pieces all really represent the best from that era.
It's amazing to think of Beethoven's status as a celebrity during his life. From about 1800, I would say, to his death, 1827, Beethoven dominated the classical music world alone. He was at the top of the mountain, and there was nobody else up there with him. He also managed to change the art form significantly. He changed not only the size of pieces, the complexity of them, the technical difficulty, but he also changed the way people listened to music as much more of a serious listening experience rather than as just simple entertainment. And he also changed, of course, the image of the composer as from being a servant of the royalty to being an autonomous artist. It actually took composers some time to recover from the shock of Beethoven.
The Romantic era, we have Louis Ferenc's piano quintet, we have Clara Schumann's three romances for violin and piano, the two incredible women composers that were just born in the wrong time. If they were born on the 21st century, they would be a mover and shakers about society. Both pieces all really reflect the finest craftsmanship and the most expressive in the most unusual, beautiful way. End of the 19th century was a time for change, for sure. The romantic idea was completely exhausted and explored to no end. And our society was moving forward in the fastest pace ever. People travel more, they exchange ideas more. Each culture is looking deeper into themselves to look for their own identity. The romantic twilight program really made this point extra clear. It's all super expressive, but with such distinct flavor from different cultures. I don't think this romantic way of listening ever went away. I know we are still searching for expression that touches our heart, that entertains our brain, and that reflects our surroundings. It's the same sort of a idea of how Beethoven is doing. And the artist's impulse is to just really break the mold, invent, and continue to push the boundary. And that's what happened in the late 19th century, for sure.
By the end of the 19th century, a second wave of what we might call romanticism emerged that we call nationalism. Events like the Franco-Prussian War reaffirmed the French people's determination to assert themselves in a Germanically dominated world. Even into the 20th century, we find a composer like Joaquin Turina living through the Spanish Civil War in Madrid, being bombarded and hit with famine, and writing music that was vehemently pro-Spanish, respecting his heritage.
On the Turbulent Century program, we also have incredible work by the Polish violinist Bartkiewicz of her Partita for Violin and Piano, and what a powerful piece of music. She must be a character that knows how to express her really, really strong opinion.
The turbulence that resulted from nationalism in the end of the 19th century found its way. It broke loose in the 20th century. The century was incredibly turbulent. There was conflict, there was social change, there was financial upheaval, such as the Great Depression. And all of these external elements in any collection of music from the 20th century can be felt and heard and perceived in many, many manifestations.
I think one piece needs to be pointed out. It really is the closer of the Turbulent Century's concert, Ernest Bloch's Piano Quintet. And if you do a little internet search, everyone will proclaim this particular quintet is Ernest Bloch's greatest achievement. The piece was written from 1921, 3 years after the First World War. This composer just moved from his native Switzerland to Paris and then to the United States in 1916. The human suffering that he has witnessed, it must influence him greatly. This is an incredible, powerful, and frightening music. It's just very poignant for us to hear that 100 years later.
In terms of the last program on the festival, it is, of course, an exercise in the great diversity of the music that we have now, but I could explain it in an even more simple way. I've heard it said that if you eat at the food court at Google, you can find virtually any kind of food from anywhere in the world that you want, which is a very modern concept. Leave it to Google. So I might say that our last program is a little bit like the Google cafeteria of contemporary music.
So much music from the past and present is available to everyone. So there's so many different multitude of musical styles, and they are all different from one another. I have to say, the piece we have selected in the last program of the Chamber Music Now cannot be more different from each other. The five composers are from totally different backgrounds. Each one is working to break the rules and express their own unique views. Jesse Montgomery grew up in New York. Wang Ji is the new American citizen. Brad Ding is from Australia with an incredible solid musical background. He himself is a great violist. David Serkin Ludwig is from the most traditional German musical family, the Serkin family. And then Tendang, that led and involved in movie music such as Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon. Tendang's experience bring a huge mixture from the Chinese traditional instrument of pipa to the traditional string quartet of the Western music. We're actually picking the music to reflect the title of this last concert to showcase the music of today, how different they all are, and how many unbelievable different kind of influence coming from all over us. I think most importantly, we're actually choosing composers and their music that is like the late Beethoven quartet style. These are composers that have the courage to reinvent, to break ground, and to experiment. And this is super important to reflect and to really end the festival.
Please join me for individual sessions on each of the six festival programs. Audio notes are written and produced by Nikki Sweat. Many thanks to David Finkel and Wu Han for speaking with me on this introductory session. Audio excerpts are courtesy of the following artists and organizations: Telemann's Concerto in D Major, TWV 40202, was from a CMS performance given by Francesco Falana, Danby Paul Wong, and Sean Lee. George Friedrich Handel's aria Per te lasciai la luce was sung by Joelle Harvey, together with Suyun Kim, Aaron Keefe, Kristen Lee, F.A. Baltichigil, Xavier Foley, and Kenneth Weiss. Mozart's Piano Trio in G Major, K564, was played by Orion Weiss, Nicholas Dautrycourt, and Mihai Marica. Beethoven's Septet in E-flat Major for Winds and Strings, Opus 20, was played by Charles Chandler, Dennis Godburn, Anthony McGill, Joseph Silverstein, Ronald Thomas, William Vermeulen, and Geraldine Walter. Schubert's String Trio in B-flat Major, D581, was played by Kristen Lee, Richard O'Neill, and Clive Greensmith. Pharonk's Piano Quintet in A Minor was performed by John Novacek, Andrew Wan, Toby Apple, Bjorn Tsang, and Susan Cahill. Schumann's Three Romances for Violin and Piano were played by Kristen Lee and Wu Chen. Dvorak's Piano Trio in G Minor, Opus 26, was performed by Gloria Chen, Nicholas Dautrycourt, and Nicholas Alstadt. Brahms's Clarinet Quintet in B Minor, Opus 115, was played by Annie Kavafian, Yura Lee, Philip Setzer, David Schifrin, and Paul Watkins. Batsevich's Partita for Violin and Piano was performed by Stella Chen and Gilles von Sadel. Joaquin Turina's Piano Quartet in A Minor was performed by Wu Chen, Paul Wong, Paul Neubauer, and Nicholas Kanellakis. Bloch's Piano Quintet No. 1 was played by Michael Stephen Brown, Kristen Lee, Danby Matthew Lippmann, and Nicholas Kanellakis. Brett Dean's Seven Signals for Clarinet, Violin, Cello, and Piano was performed by Tommaso Longquich, Arno Sussman, Nicholas Kanellakis, and Wu Chen. Excerpts from Ludwig van Beethoven's string quartets, Opus 132 in A minor and Opus 130 in B flat major, were performed by the Emerson String Quartet. And finally, Ten Dun's Concerto for Pipa and String Quartet was from a performance given by the chamber players of the Greenwich Symphony, and the artists were Min Xiao Fen on pipa, with Christoph Witek, Susan Hitken Metcalf, David Creswell, and Daniel Miller. Audio Notes are a copyrighted production of Music at Menlo.